Bibles. We're going to be in the book of Genesis, and not going to be hard to find. Genesis chapter 2. All right, Genesis chapter 2. And we are taking our journey through this book. I'm very excited about the things that we have already looked at and are going to continue to look at. And there's just a lot of awesome things in Genesis. Genesis, of course, is the first book of the Bible. And it is, as you study the Bible, one of the things as you study is what's called the law of first mentions. And it's when God mentions something for the first time, He sets a precedence for that and how He wants things to be. Now, man comes along and we mess stuff up, okay? But God doesn't mess anything up. And so as we go through Genesis, you find different things that God established from the beginning. And that was His original intent on things. And we'll talk about some of those as we get to it. So Genesis chapter 2 is where we're going to be at tonight. We're going to read the first 9 verses. So if you find your place, stand with me. And we'll begin reading here in verse 1. The Bible says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man who He had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Let's pray. Lord, bless us tonight. Thank You for the opportunity to study Your Word. Speak to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Excuse me. Well, we're going to talk about tonight and look at this wonderful place that God put Adam and Eve to live in, this garden, and look at different things about it. And then, of course, as I always do, I'm going to give you some practical lessons from it. But before we get to the part of the Garden of Eden, I want you to notice the first 3 verses here in chapter 2. And just a few things I want to show you, point out to you, and then we'll move on. But notice here, first of all, the first verse of chapter 2. It says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them." Let me just say this. God sets a precedent from the very beginning that He's a finisher. Okay? All right? And remember what Jesus said on the cross after He suffered His passion, His last, close to His last words? "It is finished." Okay? Now listen, folks. God's a finisher. We ought to be finishers. Amen? Okay? And there's certain things in life that you just gotta put a lot of effort in to get through. Okay? But listen, God wants us to finish. He set that precedence from the very beginning. And God set up a plan of how He was going to create everything. And He followed His plan. And you know what? He finished the work. Amen? And that's an important thing for us to do. And then notice here, verse 2 and 3 talks about the importance of the seventh day. Okay? And it talks about that God ended His work and He rested on the seventh day. Now, think about this for a minute. All right? God's all powerful. Does God need to rest? No. Right? God doesn't need to rest. God doesn't get weary. The Bible tells us that. He doesn't get faint. Okay? The Bible says in Psalms 121 that he that keepeth Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. All right? Well, why do you think God took a day after He had completed His work and said, "I'm going to take a day and proclaim it through the proclamation of Scripture, of inspiration, of preservation, that I'm going to rest"? You know why He did it? He did it as an example to us. Okay? Now, we don't choose the seventh day anymore, all right, as a Hallowed day. The seventh day actually would have been what day? Saturday, right? Because Sunday's the first day of the week. Saturday was known as the Sabbath. That's why God commanded Israel to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. It was in commemoration of what God did as resting on the seventh day, okay? But for us, if you ever wonder why we celebrate the Lord's Day now on Sunday instead of Saturday, okay? Well, the transition happened back in the New Testament when Jesus rose from the dead, remember? And He arose on Sunday, the first day of the week. And then from then, the early church took it as a pattern to meet together on the first day day of the week instead of the last day of the week. And that's why now we've been meeting since Christ rose from that grave for the last 2,000 years. Sunday has been the sacred day. Amen? But whether it was Saturday or Sunday, let me just say this. There is a sacred day of the week, and we as Christians ought to keep it sacred. Amen? And that's why I remember that Sunday is the Lord's Day. The Bible calls it that. It's His day. Remember Pastor Ross read that on Sunday when he was reading to Revelation, talking about the importance of the church? Remember what John said? He was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Okay? Remember that. Sunday belongs to God. Doesn't belong to us. It belongs to Him. So as Christians, if He thinks it's important, we need to think it's important. Amen? And we need to honor that and give God His day. Let's not be stealing things from God. Amen? And so let's not steal His day from Him. Now, that was just introduction. That was free tonight. Amen? And that was just free for y'all. Okay, now, let's talk about this place called the Garden of Eden and man that God created to put in that. Now, you know what's interesting? God, again, kind of summarizes in chapter 2 what He went into detail about chapter 1. And we looked last week about God making mankind and how that mankind's the crowning creation of all that God made. And but here again, it talks about, verse 7, that God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. All right? You know, if you were going to make a human body, here's what you would need to do it. Okay? You would need 58 pounds of oxygen, 50 quarts of water, 2 ounces of salt, 3 pounds of calcium, 24 pounds of carbon, chlorine, phosphorus, fat, iron, sulfur, and glycerin. That's what you would need to make a human body. You know, it's no wonder the Bible tells us in Psalms 139, verse 14, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen? Only God can do that. Think about it. God reached down with His own fingers and He reached into the dust of the ground. He formed us. And even though we're dust, and by the way, that's really what we are, okay? Because when we die, they put us back in the ground. And if it wasn't for all the modern technology with sealing them things up the way it would, with just a short matter of time, we'd be right back to dust. Okay? And eventually that's what we turn back to anyway. But isn't it amazing how God made mankind? Man, He's amazing, amazing creator. But God here didn't just make a man. He made a place for man to live in. And that's what we're going to kind of focus in on tonight for a little bit. We're going to talk about this garden here and what was provided in this garden that God made for Adam and Eve to live in. Okay? First of all, we see it was a place for man to live. All right, look at verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man He had formed. All right? Now listen, I want to give you some practical application here in a little bit about it, but it wasn't an accident that God, when He made man, had a place for him to be at. Okay? Listen, there's a principle there, and we're going to talk about it here in a little bit. But this place God made, okay? It's called the Garden of Eden. Sometimes it's another place it's referred to as the Garden of God. Okay? Do you know what that word Eden means? It means pleasure. It means delight. All right? Now listen, there's some awesome places on this planet. Okay? I've been to some cool places. I've never been to some place that I consider paradise. All right? Although Princeton's not far from it, right? Ha, 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 ha. All right? We're laughing tonight, all right? I want to one of these days go to a place where the waters are crystal clear. The temperatures are just about a moderate 70, 75, maybe 80 degrees. I mean, the sun shines 360 days out of the year. I want to go to a place like that. I've never been, all right? There's probably just a few select places on earth that would be considered paradise. Now, I've seen some pictures, okay? I used to have a calendar of some of the most scenic beaches in the world. Man, they were beautiful. I just sit there as it was, you know, I was going to say February in Indiana, but April in Indiana, and I see the snow out there, all right? And I used to look at that calendar and just picture myself, you know, there on that beach with my feet in that crystal clear water. I mean, there are some beautiful, beautiful places on this planet. But you know what? There's never been a place as awesome as the Garden of Eden. Never. Okay? Think about this for a minute. Okay? When God decided to put a slice of heaven on earth, He made Eden. Okay? By the way, think about this. He made it for man. He made it for man. And by the way, I still believe if Adam and Eve hadn't sinned, then maybe it could have still been like that. I don't know. Maybe the next person would have. We could play that game forever, all right? But here's the thing. When God made man, He made a perfect place for man to live in. Listen, it was beautiful. It was amazing. You know what I believe? I believe one of these days when God remakes this thing, and He's going to, by the way, okay? You say, you believe in global warming? Oh, yeah, I believe in it. The Bible says the elements are going to melt with the fervent heat, okay? Let me tell you where global warming comes from. It's going to come from God, amen? He's literally going to destroy the earth one of these days. He's going to remake a new one. And I believe when He remakes a new one, we're going to be able to experience what Eden was like. Okay? It's going to be the new Eden. And I can imagine what it's going to be like to live there. Okay? But when God gave this place for Adam, Eden, it was a place for him to live. Not only did God give him a place to live, but in verse 9, God gave him things to eat. God provided for him. All right, look at verse 9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree, listen to this, that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Okay, now, I don't know how y'all are. I like fresh, juicy fruit. I don't mean the bubble gum, all right? I'm talking about juicy pears, juicy peaches. I mean, you know, I like a sour, crisp apple. I love stuff like that. Now think about this. If it's this good after the fall, after sin came in the picture, could you imagine how good it was before sin came in the picture? Okay? I don't know all that was there. All I know is the Bible says it was pleasant to the sight. Could you imagine walking around and just, it didn't just taste good, it looked good. Okay? And I have a feeling there was probably more things there than what we even know and experience today. Okay? Who knows what it was? All we know is, I'm sure it was good. It had to have been. All right? And so God gave them food to eat. Look at verse, back in chapter 1, verse 29. It tells us that God gave them herb-bearing seed upon the face of the earth. And the tree, the fruit of a tree yielding seed, it shall be for your meat. Now, as much as it pains me to say this, because I'm a carnivore, all right, God's original plan wasn't for man to eat meat, okay? Because we know that, because it wasn't until after the flood that did God permit the eating of meat. His original plan was for him to eat this. Now, I don't know what it's going to be like in heaven. I can't imagine it being in heaven without meat, but maybe it will be. I don't know, amen, all right? But whatever God wants it to be, it's going to be awesome. Okay, but God's original plan, He provided for them to eat the fruit and the herbs here. Okay, now, I know how we are, man. Us guys, we're all about the meat, okay? But I promise you, it was great if that's the way God intended for it to be, all right? So God provided for them a place to live, food to eat. He also provided for them water to drink. Okay, verses 10 through 14, I'm not going to read them, but it names here, names four specific rivers that God created. Okay, and by the way, I guarantee you they didn't look like the White River, right? Which ought to be called the Brown River, all right? Brown River Baptist Church, all right? But no, I guarantee you, it because the source of these rivers was Eden, okay? I couldn't even imagine what that water would have tasted like, okay? You know there's a such thing as sweet water, right? I mean, there's different types of water, believe it or not, okay? And that tastes different. In fact, Brother Dave, he's got this, Jesse, we listened to it the other day. We were taking his van. We were driving, taking the kids to youth rally. He's got this funny CD about these old crazy songs. One of them, it's a funny song. You know the old song about water? Clear, cool water, water. Well, this one is making fun of people who buy and drink out of bottled water, right? It's like, who in the right mind decided to bottle up water and sell it? And we pay for it, okay? How crazy are we for paying for this stuff? That's free, but we pay for it, all right? But I guarantee you that water, it didn't just taste like this stuff did. I guarantee it had probably some type of freshness to it. But God provided that for them, okay? He talks about the four specific rivers, Pison, Gihon, Hiddekel, Euphrates. Okay? And all these are mentioned in the Bible. Again, by the way, why did God mention these? Because you know what God was doing here? Again, not just providing for Adam, but providing for mankind geological evidence of the fact that the Bible is what it's supposed to be. Okay? Listen, archaeologically, scientifically, historically, there's never been one piece of evidence found to contradict this book right here. And if anybody says they have, they're lying. They're manufacturing things. Because historically, scientifically, archaeologically, it all lines up with the Bible. Amen? And so God provided that for them. Now don't miss this, because some people miss this point. Not only did God give him place to live, food to eat, water to drink, God gave him work to do. Do you know that work is not a result of sin? Did you know that? Okay? God made man to work. Okay? And I've often said this, all right? And by the way, let me just preface by saying, I'm not down on people who are generally disabled. I'm not. In fact, my dad, he worked for his whole life. He has a muscle disease. And I remember the day when they told him that he couldn't work anymore, and it totally devastated him. I mean, he was depressed for I couldn't tell you how long, because they said, we're not going to allow you to work because physically you can't do it anymore. Okay? So, and now he's on disability because he can't work, all right? I'm not down in things like that, but I'm talking about people who can and won't. Physically, they are able, but they're just lazy. Listen, that's not the way God intended for it to be, folks. Amen? God intended for man to work. All right? Look at verse 15 of Genesis chapter 2. Notice what it says. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden. Look at this next phrase. To dress it and to keep it. Okay? To dress it and to keep it. God said, Adam, I'm going to make you, and I'm just not going to put you in this garden to lay around all day. Okay? You got a job to do. You're going to dress this garden. You're going to keep this garden. Okay? By the way, you know what that word keep means? It means to protect. And God said, Adam, you're the protector of this place I'm giving. You say protect. Protect it from what? There was no sin, but God knew the future. Okay? He knew what could have happened and what was going to happen, I should say. And he knew the serpent was going to try to get in. And it was Adam's job to protect the place God gave him to live. Okay? And by the way, let me just say this. It's our job to protect the things God's given us. Amen? Okay? And there's nothing wrong. I've preached about this before, and I'm not going to re-preach the message. But let me tell you something. We have not just a constitutional right to keep and bear arms, but a biblical right to keep and bear arms. Okay? There's nothing wrong with us protecting ourselves and from people that would try to do harm to ourselves, to our family. Okay? Nothing wrong with it. In fact, you have a God-given right, obligation to protect yourself. Amen? Okay? Remember what I said when I preached to this before. The Bible is our offensive weapon. Amen? But our firearms are our defensive weapons. Okay? And I promise you right now, I'm trained and I'm not afraid to use my defensive weapon. All right? And listen, the crazier this world gets, you better be serious about knowing how to protect yourself. Okay? I'm just saying. I'm not going to get off on a tangent there tonight about that. But I'm just saying. All right? Don't buy the stinking, liberal, politically correct garbage that as Christians, if someone pulls a gun on you, just turn the other cheek. That's a bunch of bull. Amen? I'm going to do everything I can to protect myself and my family. And by the way, my church. Amen? I want to protect this place. All right? And if somebody thinks you're going to come in here and do harm to these people, I might get taken out, but there's going to be some shots fired back is all I'm saying. Amen? Because you know what? We have a right to do that, and God expects us to do that. Because God said, Adam, you got a work to do. And part of your work is to dress the garden and to keep it and to protect it. All right? And so that was work he had to do. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. God expanded upon that. He said he was to... And the Lord blessed them, and God said unto them, talk about Adam and Eve, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God said, there's some things you need to do. You need to take care of some things. You need to take care of the things that I've given you. That word subdue, it means to bring it under control. Have dominion over the animal life. Okay? Now remember this. Another job God gave him was to name the animals. All right? That was part of Adam's job. Okay? So, God made man to work. All right? There in verse 5, all right, even talks about the fact of take care of the ground there. All right? So there was responsibility. And remember this. Work was not part of the sin curse, but you know what God did when the sin curse came along? He made work harder. Up until the sin curse, guess what? There was no thorns, there was no thistles. Listen, nature didn't fight against Adam when he was trying to work. Now what happens if you get out there and try to take care of a piece of ground? Well, just neglect it for a while and see what happens. Nature takes over, doesn't it? I mean, if you don't cut the grass, if you don't trim the bushes, if you don't keep the trees trimmed, nature literally will just take over and go crazy. That's part of the sin curse, not the work to take care of it. Okay? Because work was a part of God's original plan. And then not only that, we see the fact that in the garden, there were choices to be made. Okay? Adam was allowed, remember this, to eat freely of all the trees except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Have you ever wondered to yourself, there in verse 9, talks about the two trees. The tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay? Now, it's interesting if you study that phrase, tree of life. You know the tree of life was in Eden, and the tree of life is also going to be in heaven one of these days. Okay? And in fact, the tree of life, and I believe the Bible alludes to this, part of the reason I believe it was there is that Adam and Eve, and I don't know if I'm going to word it right, but I'm going to try to work the best I can. If you want to say to sustain their immortality that they had, I believe they had to partake of that tree of life. Because the Bible says that one of these days in heaven, that the nations are going to gather back and eat from the tree of life. And the Bible says that the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, I don't understand exactly how it's all going to work. All I know is, after Adam and Eve fell, God had to put an angel to protect the tree of life so man wouldn't eat of it in their fallen state. Okay? So the tree of life there, it's a very interesting thing to study through the Scripture. But there was another tree in that garden. It's called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now think about this for a minute. If God knew that Adam and Eve were going to eventually eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, why do you think He even put it there in the first place? Wouldn't it have been easier for God to not have put it there? And if it hadn't been there, they never would have sinned. You ever thought that before? Well, remember something. When God made man, God made us different than any parts of His creation. And God made man with something known as a free will. Okay? Because when God made us, He didn't want to make a bunch of robots. All right? He wanted a creation that would reciprocate back the love to Him. So think about this for a minute. If God hadn't put that tree in the garden, mankind never would have had a choice to make. And think about this. If you don't have a choice to make, there's really no true love. Right? I mean, folks, listen. Okay, now I've used this illustration before. I'm not telling you nothing I've never told you before. But the reason that my wife and I, we love each other, it's not because we're made to love each other. We choose to love each other. And remember something about love, folks. Technically, I know the phrase and I know what it means when we say fall in love, all right? Okay, the whole Twitter-pated feeling that everybody has when you see that person and it's the ooey-gooey stuff that comes over you. And then 6 months after marriage, you wonder where it's at again. No, just kidding, all right? But no, listen, seriously, okay? Love is a choice. You choose to love, okay? And here's the thing. The reason God put that tree in there, because He wanted a choice to be made between His free will creations. Now, I'm sick and tired of people blaming God for the mess we're in today. Everybody wants to say, well, if God's real, why is there evil in the world? If God's real, why is there sickness in the world? Let me just say this. God never intended for there to be evil, sin, and sickness. You know where it came from? As a result of man's choice. Now, we sure like our opportunity to choose, but we don't like the consequences for our free will. Okay? And you know, I hate it. And you know what the sad part about it is? Innocent people suffer because of it. I hated talking or happen to hear your prayer request tonight about the three people mentioned that had cancer. I hate the C word. I hate it. It's taken loved ones of mine. It's taken loved ones of yours. And you know what? Truth be told, it's probably going to take some of us in this room tonight. Because it's just the world we're living in. But you know what all that is a result of? Sin. And where'd sin come from? The free will of mankind. Now, we want the opportunity to choose, but you know what? We don't want what has to come along with that. So, no, there are choices that had to be made. God did not make a mechanical, robotic man. He made a man with the choice to choose morality. Okay? And so there were choices in that garden to be made. And then I want to show you what else God put in that garden. God not only put all those things for man to enjoy, but then think about this for a minute, okay? God put Adam there first, okay? He made the man, and he gave him jobs to do. And again, this is all part of God's wisdom here, folks. He then realized, okay, Adam, you're not doing too hot by yourself, are you? Okay? I mean, you know what? Yeah, you're doing it okay, but you're just not yourself, Adam. So he says, guess what? I got something else up my sleeve, God said. I'm paraphrasing God a little bit here. Amen. He's like, I'm going to bring something to you that's going to help you. All right, look at verse 18. Look what he says. And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. Yeah, right? I say that myself. It's not good that I'm alone, God. Look how much I mess things up and my wife's not around, okay? I mean, if I were alone, my kids would only eat frozen pizzas all the time, all right? It's not good that I'm alone, all right? That's technically not true because Faith is an awesome cook now, and so Faith pretty much can cook anything. But before she could, and when it was my job, frozen pizzas and cereal when mom was gone, all right? And but it says here, I will make an help meet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them into Adam to see what he would name them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name therefore. And Adam gave the names to all cattle, the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. Now, I'm sure it was awesome for Adam when he was naming these animals. Remember something. When he was doing this, they weren't wild. The wildness came from the sin curse. Okay? So that meant Adam had contact with what he decided to call a lion. Okay, come here, big boy. Starts ruffling around on his mane, maybe fighting and playing with him a little bit. You know, lion just purring all around him or however it was. I mean, listen, that's how probably it was, folks. There was no sin curse there. Adam, could you imagine? By the way, we don't necessarily have a timeline of how long Adam and Eve lived in that garden before sin came along. We don't know how long it was. I have a feeling it probably just wasn't a month, okay? They probably lived there for quite some time. It probably took Adam a while to name the animals. You know how many species of animals there are? Lots and lots and lots, okay? And so Adam was doing all this, but at the end of the day, I mean, I'm sure he had a great time doing it, but there was just something missing, okay? And the Bible says, Adam, it's not good that you're going to be alone, so I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to make a helpmeet to help you here, okay? And then we read down verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her into the man. So many truths can be taught from those two verses right there. Okay? First of all, I want you to notice here. Where did God make Eve from? He made him from Adam's rib. Okay? Think about this. He didn't make her from his head to be his dictator. Nor did he make him from his foot so he could walk on her. Okay? God made her from his rib. All right, that's where God made Eve from. And by the way, he chose to create Eve a little different than he chose to create Adam. All right? And think about it here. The reason he did that is because Eve was a part of Adam. You know, the Bible talks about, and it goes on to say in verse 24, or verse 23 and 24. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Woman, what's that mean? When Adam woke up, he's like, whoa, man. Wow, okay? Now, that's how we'd say it, right? He's like, whoa, man. I mean, it was wow. I couldn't imagine. I mean, y'all know how it is. The first time you saw the person, your husband, your wife. And I mean, that first time you saw it, you're like, whoa. I need to talk to her, or, you know, in case my wife's case, she's like, I got to have him, right? She's not in here tonight, or she'd be shaking her head, right? And that's not how it was, by the way. But it says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave unto his wife. Listen to this phrase, and they shall be one flesh. Now think about that. What's that mean? How can two become one? Well, in all reality, it's not two becoming one. It's two parts becoming one, because the truth of the matter is you're incomplete without the person God created for you. Okay, that's the truth of the Scripture. That's the way God intended for it to be. Okay, and that's why it's so important that we teach our young people the importance of making sure they find the right one to marry. Okay, because I'm telling you, folks, and some of you know, because you've been through things. And I'm not saying these things to try to hurt you, okay? By no means am I trying to say that. But a lot of heartache comes along when you don't find the right one, okay? And so God wants us to find that person He's created for us, okay? So woman was to be a help for Adam. That word, the word woman means out of man, okay? The woman was created for the man to help him. Now, our world's got it all backwards, folks, okay? God created... Now, you're going to say, you're sounding like a male chauvinist pig by saying this. No, I'm giving you Bible principles. God created man for a work, and He created a woman for a man to help the man do the work. By the way, that doesn't mean a woman is less than a man. That's not what it means. Okay? God's not a male chauvinist pig. Okay? He's not. But listen, everybody has their role to fulfill. Okay? As a man, I have my role to fulfill. As a woman, my wife has her role to fulfill. And let me tell you what works the best is when everybody fulfills their God-given roles. Okay? Let me tell you what our world's trying to do. It's called role reversal. Okay? You watch any, and I don't watch hardly any TV at all anymore, okay? But you watch something on TV, and you know what you see? You see Hollywood, you see the world reversing those roles, okay? Any commercial, it shows the man looking stupid, okay? The man who's supposed to be the man of the house, he's made to look like the buffoon, okay? Like you don't know what he's talking about. Listen, the world is trying to destroy masculinity. Okay? Listen, folks, I'm telling you, if you want it to work right, you got to follow God's plan. All right? And that's how God established for it to be. By the way, here we see that God ordained marriage and God ordained the home. The first institution God ever established was the home. All right? By the way, the Supreme Court didn't invent marriage, so they have no right to define marriage. God defined marriage between one man and one woman. Okay? And this garbage floating around in the name of I have a right to love who I want, let me tell you, it's a perversion of God's plan. I'm going to say it. Homosexuality is a perversion of God's plan. That's right. You got a pastor who's not afraid to say it. Amen? By the way, I'm putting the sermon on the internet too, and I don't care. Okay? Because we need Christians who's willing to stand for the truth of God. Not bend to political pressure, by the way. Amen? All right? And not just preachers. We need Christians who are willing to stand for that too. So here's the principle. God says man needs to leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Okay? Here's what God intended for happen. When it comes time for you to establish your home, it's called the leave and cleave principle. Okay? You then become your own and form your own home. Okay? And so when I left my mother and father's home and I formed my own home, in God's eyes, I become, in His eyes, I become the head of my own home then. Okay? Leave and cleave. All right? Now, it sounds good, especially when you're young and it's all hunky-dory. But you know what? When trouble starts and you start facing hard times, it's hard to get that cleave thing going on here. Okay? But that's what God intended for it to be. Amen? And so we're to leave father and mother, cleaving to their wife, okay? And they twain shall be one flesh. And by the way, the Bible says that's a mystery. Okay? It's something that only God does and God puts together. Okay? Now, real quick, I won't take much time on this. Let me give you some practical principles from what we just talked about tonight. All right? First of all, I want you to understand something. God created everyone special. Okay? Listen, and we mentioned this last week. I'm not going to go deep into it tonight. But I want you to understand something. You personally were formed by God. Okay? The Bible says in Jeremiah that his hands were involved in forming every human being in their womb, in the womb of their mother. And not only that, the Bible says that they were ordained. You know what that means? God not just created you, God has a special plan for your life. Let me tell you something. You're not here on this planet by accident. Let me tell you what I believe. I believe that there's a job God created for every human being to do, and only you are capable of completing that the way God wants it done. So here's the problem. When people decide they're not going to follow God's plan, they follow their own plan, the things God intended for that to happen don't happen. And there's consequences for that. And sometimes we don't even understand the consequences of our decisions because instead of following God's plan, we follow our own plan. Okay? But listen, I want you to know something. You were created special. You were given life by God. You have a living soul. You're made in the image of God. Not only that, God has a place for you. Just as God had a place for Adam, God has a place for you. You know what we call it? The will of God. There's some place, a particular plan God has for you for your life He wants you to accomplish. Okay? Listen, folks, that gives life meaning. That gives you a reason to get up every day to accomplish the will of God for your life. All right? And just as God had a will for Adam, for Eve, God has a will for you also. Amen? Let me just say this. There's joy for you in the place of God's will. There's joy. There's peace. There's happiness. There's contentment in that. Okay? And God wants you to accomplish His will for your life. All right? And then I want the young people to know there is a companion for you. Okay? There's a companion for you. And Pastor Ross preached about this last Friday night, the youth rally, so I'm not going to go through it again. But I want you to understand that, you know what? God has someone that He made just for you. But let me just say this. If you're going to find that person, you got to find that person in the will of God. Let me tell you where Adam found Eve, in the garden. By the way, what was the garden? It was the place God created for him to be. If you think you're going to walk out, make your own choices, do what you want instead of what God wants for your life, go ahead and sow your wild oats. But while you're out there sowing them, you know what you're doing? You're missing possibly the person God created for you to be with for the rest of your life. Okay? It's so important, young people, that you stay in the will of God so you can find the person God has for you to marry. Amen? And those of us that are married, listen, let's stay with the person God gave us. Amen? Stay with that person. All right? Now, again, I'm not trying to say things to hurt people. And maybe you do have divorce in your past. But go where you're at now. Where you're at now is where you need to stay in the will of God. Amen? Because it's an important thing. All right. So, there's a lot of things we learned from Genesis chapter 2 tonight. And that was with me talking really fast. All right? A lot of things we could have talked about. A lot of other things. But again, we're not doing a verse-by-verse study. We're going to try to take a week on each chapter, and we may go a little more than a week on each chapter, but that's kind of what we're doing to kind of get through this. But man, I'm telling you, folks, I love Genesis. I love it. And just as we did when we studied Proverbs, let me encourage you, as we're doing this Bible study, just read through Genesis before we actually come here for Bible study on Thursday night, and you can begin to kind of whet your appetite and let the Lord teach you some things as we go through this book. All right, let's pray.